the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I pay for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Welcome to a Tuesday. Yes, you know, Tuesday is the day of the week I usually begin my broadcast week. I used to do a show 5 days a week. And then, you know, almost four years ago, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. And when I took a hiatus to have surgery and, you know, most of my left lung removed, I was off for a few months. And up until about a month before the 2016 presidential election, and I came back on because I couldn't not be on the air, not talk about this election between, oh my God, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. So when I came back, the Progressive Voices Network was carrying the show 4 days a week. The Monday slot goes to the show called Moms Rising. So, and for an hour, I had been doing 2 hours a day. So I cut back to 1 hour a day, 4 days a week. Well, now we're working with the people at TuneIn at the Progressive Voices Network, trying to get the stream stabilized and working well, and move my show to live at 5 o'clock, so I won't have to worry about, you know, ending on a, well, I have to end the show for Progressive Voices at a certain time. But if I ever want to run long, you know, I can. I don't have to worry about uploading the podcast to their server to so it can air at 5 o'clock. When it fires as it's supposed to. But all the bugs are being fixed, as are, you know, my studio bugs. Hopefully you've noticed a little better sound today than usual. Now, maybe you didn't know that we did a special bonus Monday show yesterday. I had Donald Trump on the show. Actually, I had J.L. Coven. I'm mispronouncing his name, but he's a brilliant comedian and who does the most amazing Donald Trump impersonation that I've heard. Better than anyone out there, better than the guy on the cartoon president show, better than, certainly better than Alec Baldwin, better than even me. And that's saying something. Anyway, we did the special bonus show yesterday. The YouTube video is up. The podcast is up. I didn't even make it a Patreon show. I made it for everyone. The Patreon people, thank you for those who have joined in via Patreon. I will be working on that, you know, Radio or Not Chronicles. I promise I'll be adding to it. I've just been pulled in a million different directions the last few weeks. So, yeah. So anyway, we're plugging away, trying to, you know, keep this thing going. And I, you know, I hate to ask for money, but I will, because I must. We're all hurting right now. You're hearing other shows say it too. A number of my, you know, regular donors, monthly donors have dropped off. Some because of their financial situation having to do with the quarantine and coronavirus and all that. And as I told you, well, I told you yesterday and some last week, a few people have taken taken exception with my stance. That is, when a woman says she was sexually assaulted, you listen to her. You investigate her claims. I don't care if she's accusing a Republican or a Democrat. If she makes an accusation, then it must be investigated. And to just say, oh, she's a skank, or she has a history of lying, I'm sorry, we don't do that. And but I guess, you know, the hypocrites among us do, because I've heard from a number of them who've gone on and on about, you know, Donald Trump's accusers. Oh, and they're all right. And I believe all of them. But when somebody accuses a Democrat, then it's okay to demean her? You know, I've got a problem with that. Anyway, there's a lot of opinions out there. We all have them. We opened the phones Friday. And in fact, if you want to call in today, you're welcome to. 954-889-6410 is the phone number. You can Skype in. I'm simply Nicole Sandler, all one word. Feel free. It's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh will be along in a little while, but I'm sure she wouldn't mind taking a few phone calls. If you are so inclined, feel free. All right. We got a lot of news to cover. You know, it's the usual stuff. And again, Amy won't be joining us today. No glibberal goddesses today because Amy's got to work. So it'll just be Laffy and me. And we'll get to her after the news and after something funny. Now, today happens to be Cinco de Mayo. And I lived in Los Angeles from 1987 to 2001. Basically. And I remember when Cinco de Mayo became a thing. It was a marketing campaign for Corona beer. Seriously, Cinco de Mayo, people think, oh, it's Mexican Independence Day. No, it isn't. Not even close. It is a minor Mexican holiday. It's the commemoration of a battle in the Franco-Mexican War, I believe. Hold on, let me see if I can't find my notes on this. The date of the Mexican Army's May 5th, 1862 victory over France at the Battle of Puebla during the Franco-Mexican War. And again, it became a thing, Cinco de Mayo. It is not a big holiday in Mexico. It's a bigger deal in the United States, and it's because of Corona beer. Now, I'm not a beer drinker, but I remember in the early 90s, that's what Cinco de Mayo was all about. So keeping that in mind, today's funny is another one from our friend, The Kiffness. And The Kiffness, his real name is David Scott. I finally got it down. I tried to connect with him again. We'll see if I hear back from him because I really want this guy on the show. He is oh so talented. So he actually didn't release this song parody today. It's from a few weeks ago. But this guy has been so prolific in coming out with these parody songs for the coronavirus, the quarantine, the COVID, whatever, however you want to refer to our plague, our 21st century plague. And this guy, The Kiffness, is what he goes by. He's mostly, I guess he's known for his electronica music. But as you'll see from the clip I'm going to play today, he is a multi-talented guy. So anyway, he recorded this video a few weeks ago, but I think it works for today. Because it is Cinco de Mayo, everyone. So happy quarantining, I guess. Take it away, Kiff. Do this and do this.
One, two, three, four.
Corona.
And by the way, yes, he's playing the guitar and the trumpet.
Corona.
Corona. We'll do one. We'll do one more. Oh, we already heard this one. No. Hold on. This is the other one. Sorry. We're going to do this one. Another one from Lauren Mayer.
We are all in this together, as inside we must remain. Though the fear and isolation can produce a little strain, still I'm grateful to be healthy, so I really can't complain. But one aspect of this quarantine makes me a bit insane. I can't remember what day it is. Wednesday? Sure, if that's what you say it is.
Tuesday.
Lately, okay, that's the way it is. the tedium's a bummer, my friend. Day after day, here at home we stay. No going out, not for work or play. I'm living my own version of Groundhog Day. But at least that movie finally had an end. I can deal with my roots popping, or my grungy chipping nails. I can cope with no more shopping, though I miss those Nordstrom sales. Though my wardrobe needs refreshing, I'll keep dressing casually. The way the days are meshing is depressing as can be. Each morning I wake wondering what's today. Monotony's driving me nuts today. 'Cause we're all stuck in our ruts today. It's true, these are unusual times. I am losing track of what day we're in. Say, is it April or May we're in? What can allay the dismay we're in? And I know I'm overusing internal rhymes. Someday we'll be able to go out and resume some of our usual perks. I'd set a date for a great big blowout, but by then I won't remember how a calendar works, 'cause I have no idea what day it is. Ask if my brain is okay. It is not, but I guess I'll just pray it is. Gonna recover when these tougher times are done. So until then, I hope you have a great day and can remember which one.
Ah, yes, Lauren Mayer, everybody. Hey, Lauren Mayer. She's you find her under Lauren's Comedy on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. Again, I will post that. I'll post both of those songs on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com/5-5-20 because it is Cinco de Mayo, everybody. All right. Like I said, Laffy's here. We'll get to her early today. But first, let's get to a little bit of news, shall we? Oh boy. All right. We'll start with the orange thing that's occupying the Oval Office, who is in the middle of all of this insanity, still tweeting nonsense. So just after midnight last night, Donald Trump, with nothing better to do, tweeted four times about the Lincoln Project. The Lincoln Project is a Republican, or I guess former Republican, political group who has $1.2 million in the bank and has been running ads on Fox News. They've got a new one up, and I'm going to play it for you because it's this good, and it's gotten under Trump's skin. Aw. It's called Mourning in America, Mourning spelt with a U, as you would expect. Again, the Lincoln Group is the group founded by George Conway, you know, Kellyanne's husband. And I still don't understand how that marriage works. They must have like incredible sex or something. I mean, how can these two we think they're polar opposites. We don't know. You got to wonder about, talk about strange bedfellows, right? But some other never Trumpers, Republicans, at least in a former life. Anyway, this is the latest ad running on Fox from the Lincoln Group. Here we go.
There's mourning in America. Today, more than 60,000 Americans have died from a deadly virus Donald Trump ignored. With the economy in shambles, more than 26 million Americans are out of work. The worst economy in decades. Trump bailed out Wall Street, but not Main Street. This afternoon, millions of Americans will apply for unemployment. And with their savings run out, many are giving up hope. Millions worry that a loved one won't survive COVID-19. There's mourning in America. And under the leadership of Donald Trump, our country is weaker and sicker and poorer. And now, Americans are asking, if we have another 4 years like this, will there even be an America?
Ooh.
Paid for by the Lincoln Project, which is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So the Lincoln Project. Oh, wrong graphic I have up there. The Lincoln Project .us is their website, and Trump, it's making him nuts, which I guess is a good thing. So today, the orange one finally got his wish and he got out of the White House. Now, we can help him with that wish and get him out of the White House permanently in 6 months. Actually, 6 months from today will be after the election. Yeah, you know, my birthday is November 4th. Election day this year is November 3rd. Just to give you a little historical context of how this is all about me, because I've learned from Donald Trump. Ronald Reagan was elected president on my 21st birthday. Seriously. That sucked. And I lived with that for years. And then Barack Obama was elected president on my 49th. At the time, I was thinking, all right, well, that sort of makes up for it. In the long run, it really didn't. And now, the next election day is the day before my 61st birthday. Yes, I will be 61 on November 4th. Please make this a good birthday for me. And the way to do it is to vote Donald Trump out of office. I honestly don't know right now, today, May 5th. I have no idea who the Democratic nominee is going to be. I still have this feeling that it won't be Joe Biden. And I'm not saying, well, I am saying I'd rather it be someone else, because I think Joe Biden's going to have a really hard time beating Donald Trump. Even though a number of people like myself would vote for my dog Jackson over Donald Trump any day of the week. Some listener even made up a vote Jackson president 2020 graphic for me, because I guess because they could. Anyway. But I digress. I would like to see that happen. Please let me wake up to a happy birthday, because 61 is going to be, you know, difficult enough. Anyway, Trump got out of D.C. today. He went to Arizona. He didn't know where he was going because he was asked by the gaggle of, you know, reporters out during Chopper Talk. Chopper Talk, yes, was back today. During Chopper Talk, he was asked if he's going to wear a mask. He was going to a factory that manufactures masks. And the idiot said, well, I don't know if it's a mask place, whatever the fuck that means. But I wanted to play for you one clip, because this is something that I asked the president about yesterday. Now, granted, it wasn't Trump. It was J.L. Coven. Maybe that's how you say it, Kavan. Anyway, I asked him why he wouldn't let Dr. Fauci testify before the House this month, as the House Appropriations Committee had asked. Well, Donald Trump, during Chopper Talk this morning, was actually, the real one, was asked the question, and his answer shouldn't surprise you. It's nothing shocking. It's nothing new. It's just typical for the piece of shit that he is. That's the technical term. Here you go.
Because the House is a setup. Trump haters.
Trump haters.
They put every Trump hater on the committee. The same old stuff. They frankly want our situation to be unsuccessful, which means death. And our situation is going to be very successful. The House has put on a committee, an oversight committee of Maxine Waters Maloney and the same people. And it's just a setup. But Dr. Fauci will be testifying in front of the Senate, and he looks forward to doing that. But the House, I will tell you, the House, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Oh, fuck
you. And frankly,
you.
The Democrats should be ashamed. Because they don't want us to succeed. They want us to fail so they can win an election, which they're not going to win. But they want us to, think of it. They do everything they can to make things as bad as possible.
Oh, God. You know what? It's exhausting already. Just exhausting. Shut the fuck up already, you orange moron. I think this calls for a song. I mean, what a reprehensible, horrible excuse for a human being he is. I hope he doesn't wear. Actually, it doesn't matter if he doesn't wear a mask. Wearing a mask protects other people from your droplets, from the stuff that emanates from you. Wearing a mask, unless it's an N95 that blocks the particles from coming in, it really doesn't do much to protect you. It's to protect other people. That's why, you know, Mike Pence not wearing one at the Mayo Clinic was so reprehensible. It's just really shitty. It's like saying, you know, as long as I'm safe, that's fine, but fuck the rest of you. So, but that's Donald Trump. And then, I'm sorry, I don't mean to assault your ears, but I got to play this one other clip from this morning's edition of Chopper Talk featuring Donald Orange Trump. He was asked about coming back to letting people back to work. And the data we're seeing now is this isn't the time to open things back up again. The numbers of infections and deaths are still escalating in most places around the country, most places where people are now being told to go back to work. And they're also told if you don't come back to work because, you know, you're afraid of catching this virus with no cure and no vaccine and no immunity, that's your prerogative. But if you don't come back to work, then that's voluntary and you're no longer eligible for unemployment benefits. Should I play fuck you again? It's unbelievable. So he's asked about that. And listen to how cavalier this piece of shit is.
On the IHME model, which is now showing 134,000 deaths by August, doubling its previous prediction, are you concerned that that's happening because some of these states are relaxing guidelines too early?
No, I'm not, because that assumes no mitigation.
No, it doesn't. It assumes the mitigation we have. He, again, is wrong.
The fact that we're letting people go and go to their jobs, they have to do it. You know, if they held people any longer with the shutdowns and you're going to lose people that way, too.
Oh, really?
And you already have, I'm sure. But between drug abuse and, I mean, they say suicide, a lot of different things. There's no win, just so you know. There's no great win one way or the other. But I'll tell you where there is a win. We're going to build a country. I did it once.
No, you didn't.
2 months ago, we
you built nothing. All right. Enough. I'm sorry. I don't allow the gaslighting. That's just nonsense. He's like, I built the greatest economy the world has ever known. You built nothing, you orange twitler, you megalomaniac nut job. You're a sick fuck and you built nothing. You rode the coattails of the president before you who dug us out of the mess that the last Republican president, George W. Bush, got us into. When Barack Obama took over, we were hemorrhaging 600,000 jobs a month. Within the first few months of Obama's term, he turned that around. All you have to do is look at that bikini graph. And the jobs started coming. There was an 11-year climb of the GDP, of the economy, of employment. Those numbers, it was a continuation. And I'm not a big Obama fan. But what Trump inherited was a booming economy coming back from the crash that happened under the last Republican president. Donald Trump lies about every single fucking thing he says whenever he opens his mouth. And therefore, he's trying to take credit for the good economy we had. He was riding Obama's economy. This is his doing because he knew not what he was doing. He knows not what he is doing. He is a failure in every sense of the word. And the fact that the United States is leading the world by a huge margin in terms of not only coronavirus infections, but deaths is a testament to Donald Trump's leadership. That said, today we learned that several Trump administration agencies are forecasting that the daily death toll from the COVID-19 infection will rise to 3,000. That's 3,000 a day by June 1st. That's nearly double the current toll that of around 1,750 deaths per day. Now, this, we just heard, we got something from the Centers for Disease Control saying, oh no, that number wasn't supposed to be made public. We're not for, they are for, it was in their private report that got made public. Whoops. The CDC also predicts that the number of new confirmed cases reported daily could rise from the current 25,000 to 200,000 or more by the end of May. And obviously, as I just said, this comes as dozens of states are easing stay-at-home orders, allowing many non-essential businesses to reopen for the first time in more than a month. And Trump keeps trying to downplay the number. Now he's saying it could be 70 to 80,000 to 100,000. And either way, that's still good. I cut off that clip before he got there. But basically, he was saying they're going to die one way or another. Doesn't really matter if they're going to die. Could be suicide, could be poverty, or, you know, it could be the virus. But we need to get the economy back open again. Ugh. Meanwhile, check this out. World leaders gathered yesterday in a virtual vaccine summit to fund a plan to quickly develop vaccines and drugs to fight the virus. Conspicuously absent from the call, the orange menace. Yes, the United States was not on this call. It was led by the president of the European Commission and six others. The conference was set to raise $8.2 billion from governments, philanthropies, and the private sector to fund research and mass-produce drugs, vaccines, and testing kits to combat the virus, which has killed more than 250,000 people worldwide already. With the money came, you know, each country's rhetoric about international solidarity and some boasting about each country's efforts and achievements. Some who participated included Germany's Angela Merkel, France's Emmanuel Macron, Britain's Boris Johnson, Japan's Shinzo Abe, Israel's Netanyahu, that crook, and Turkey's Erdogan. Bill Gates was on the call. A lot of people were on the call, but nobody representing the government of the United States. We were missing in action. We are a non-entity Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take one call that's coming in now, and then we'll get Laffy. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Nicole.
Hello. Oh, this is Michael from the Bronx, isn't it? Michael S.W. from the Bronx. How are you doing, Michael?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I'm still alive. Yeah. As the Beatles songs go.
Hey, that's an accomplishment these days.
Hell yeah. I don't know what's more deadly, the COVID-19 or Trump's fucking bullshit.
Well,
I mean, I had to call in and add to your great list that you're making. All right?
Yeah.
I got to give it up to my mayor, Bill de Blasio of New York City, and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. They are the ones that are really leading and at the same time calling Trump out, as well as Mitch McConnell. What the hell is this bullshit that blue states like my state are to file bankruptcy or, in so many words, drop dead?
You know, the interesting thing about that whole line of attack that McConnell's going on, boy, they've learned gaslighting 101 and 202 from Donald Trump. The blue states, states like New York and California and New Jersey and you know, are the ones who put a whole lot more into the government, that the money they pay in is a lot more than they get out. The ones who take out more than they put in are those red states that Donald Trump loves to, you know, coddle. The ones that are going to be engulfed in COVID cases, that their hospitals or emergency rooms are going to be overrun because they're behind California and New York and Washington State and Oregon and all these other blue states that got hit first but practiced social distancing and flattened the curve so the emergency rooms weren't overwhelmed and they can take care still with a lot of trouble, take care of the massive numbers of people they have coming in who are sick. These other states, they're just getting hit now as they're opening things up, and these idiots are walking around flaunting the fact that they won't wear masks. Like the morons, the people in Flint, Michigan. Did you hear about this, Michael? This woman goes into a dollar store. The clerk says to her,
oh, yeah,
you need to be wearing a mask. And she fought with her, and she fought. They exchanged words. She left, comes back in with, I guess, her mother and father or somebody. They killed this clerk. People. They shot her in the head. What is wrong with it? Yeah. Somebody else in a dollar store also, when they were told you need to put on a mask, went over to this woman and blew his nose, wiped his nose on her shirt sleeve. I mean, what is up with people?
I want to answer that if I could.
Okay.
Number one, it goes right to the unethical leadership and incitement of Donald Trump fucker. I want to call it like that. You know, we read the tweets of Liberate and Second Amendment is under siege. A whole bunch of false-ass shit. And it's inciting people in his base and others. But, you know, with this thing about blue states versus red states, there's an important lesson behind here. Two important lessons. Number one, you want to screw the blue states, Trump? Keep in mind, you do have red voters that live in these blue states, just like you have voters that live in the red states. So I'm wondering if these Trump-supporting idiots are finally going to wake up and see that this guy is not the big superstar idol that you dream to be, that you elevate as a false god.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's for one thing. And then the other thing that I just had in mind is, oh, jeez, it just slipped out of my mind. I'm so damn mad at what the hell's going on.
No,
I hate it, too. But you, the whole thing is that people got to really wake up and see, you know, what the hell, you know, what is going on here.
Yeah.
You know, and the other lesson I remember, all you right-wingers, the one keep saying, the natural choice is life. We got to overturn Roe v. Wade. Don't you stay and, Lord forgive me, Lord knows I have to take 10-hour calls and tell her, 10 Hail Marys for all this cussing, but I'm so mad. Don't you say another fucking thing to me about being pro-life when you're going to have assholes like Trump talking about who gets the benefits, who does not, who should live, who should drop dead. You bastards that always want to glorify guns instead of glorifying God. You know, I know full well what the whole thing about overturning Roe v. Wade is, that you want control of women.
Of course.
You want control of minorities. That's all it is. Don't tell me shit about being pro-life when you're favoring the death penalty, when you're favoring and defending unarmed people of color getting shot down.
Yeah, you got it.
I wasn't born yesterday.
All right, Michael.
I'm 53 years old next month.
You're how old? You're how old next month?
I'll be 53.
53. You're a child. You're a child. I just say that. No, you're old. It's old. We're all old. We're getting old. But I guess it beats
Nicole,
the alternative.
You could be my sister. Well, you are my sister.
Okay.
All right.
I'm your sister. You're my brother. All right, Michael.
All right,
I'm going to run. Thank you. It's always good to hear from you. Michael has been calling in for years and years and years. Back in the Air America days. Well, I think that's when he first called me, back in the Air America days. Anyway. All right. Well, we've gone on way too long as it is. You know what time it is, don't you? Come on, Lauren Mayer, time for your song. Hit it.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Carla Lapp on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, yes. Every Tuesday we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, to, well, shoot the shit about the news, see what's going on. We mine Laffy's Twitter feed. Because she's so prolific on Twitter, and to find out what's happening. First, we got to get her on the line. You know, sometimes it's complicated. So let me tweak a couple of buttons. We got the new mixing board. Let's see if this is working. Hello?
Oh, yes. You've reached the COVID Chronicles hotline.
The COVID Chronicles. Okay. All right.
Press 1 if you think we should reopen harassment claims against Trump and reopen impeachment hearings, but keep one thing permanently closed, Trump's mouth.
Please. Oh, my God. Can we do that? Yes.
Please, let's do. Press 2 if you think because Trump's been stealing all the state's PPE shipments, he's become a weapon of mass destruction.
Actually, that one deserved a... Oh, shit. I don't have my rim shot on this board. On the other board, I've got a rim shot. All right. I'll get it in a couple of minutes. Keep going. Keep going, answering machine. Wait.
Press 3. You think...
Oh, There we go.
You just revived my buttons.
There you go.
Press 3 if you think VP Pius McKissass refused to wear a mask at the Mayo Clinic because, well, but he still wears a full hazmat suit whenever he's in bed with mother.
Okay. I guess it beats the magic underwear, you know.
Ooh, but, I hope. I don't. That never happens. Ooh, that's great. I'm hearing that this weird. Ever since we got onto Skype, not on your broadcast, I'm hearing a background static of some kind.
Okay. Well, I'll play with that. We'll talk. We'll play with it off the air. It's my new board. It sounds good on the air, but I guess there's a thing. So maybe we'll off the air, we'll test it and play with the sounds.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's all. Yeah. Then. Okay. Yeah. Anywho, you want to jump in? Because I've got a whole bunch of tweets today.
Okay, so we're going to go through Laffy's little Twitter stream in a segment we call
birdies.
Laffy's Tweet Spot. So what we got to do is let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my Tweet Spot.
So I'm trying to guess like where you're going to start today. Could it have anything to do with Trump's Twitter meltdown last night or his chopper talk session this morning?
Nope.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't even know if I get into that.
Shot that one down fast.
Just like totally
okay.
Scratched that one off.
Okay.
No, I'm starting today with there's so much going on. This one just. You've got to just comment on this.
Okay.
Ian Millhiser.
Yes.
Tweeted.
Yes.
He's from Vox. And Wisconsin's Republican Chief Justice just dismissed a coronavirus flare-up because it only impacted people who work in meatpacking plants and not, quote, the regular folks.
Oh, my God.
Wisconsin's Republican Chief Justice said that.
Ugh. Oh, God. We are so screwed.
That was a little quickie. Okay. Here's this just broke.
Okay.
Ousted vaccine director Rick Bright has filed a whistleblower complaint alleging he began warning about coronavirus in January but was ignored.
Hello.
I've got a little run on this one.
Good.
In his complaint, he says he raised concerns about U.S. preparedness for coronavirus starting in January, but was met with, quote, indifference, which then developed into hostility, unquote, by leaders at the Department of Health and Human Services.
No.
His attorneys argue Bright's removal from his post amounts to a violation of the Whistleblower Protection Act, claiming Bright, quote, has engaged in numerous instances of protected activity, unquote. In the complaint, he says, seeking reinstatement at BARDA's director, B-A-R-D-A, apostrophe S, director asking for full investigation, he alleges old disputes with HHS leadership were exacerbated by clashes over the coronavirus and that he was eventually excluded from participating in meetings about the virus. Secretary Azar and Dr. Kadlec responded with surprise at Dr. Bright's dire predictions and urgency. That was a quote. Later, Bright complains he was cut out of critical meetings for raising the early alarm about the virus. And per the Associated Press, scientist says he was fired after concerns about the malaria drug. So that's something that he was bashed for.
Yep.
He says he was ousted after raising concerns about concerns that the Trump administration wanted to, quote, flood coronavirus hotspots like New York and New Jersey with a malaria drug that Trump was pushing despite scant scientific evidence it helped. Bright opposed broad use of the drug, arguing scientific evidence wasn't there to back up its use in coronavirus patients. He felt an urgent need to tell the public that there wasn't enough scientific evidence to support using the drugs for COVID-19 patients per the complaint. So there you go. That broke just now.
As he should. Oh, thank you. Allison just brought me fresh baked banana bread. See, a chocolate banana bread. Ooh, and it's hot. This is hot. She, you know, we've been stuck at home. Allison, come say hello. It's okay. You look gorgeous. She turned 21 on Sunday.
Oh, happy birthday, Allison.
Happy birthday, Allison. So that's Laffy saying happy birthday. And so my poor baby, I had to spend her 21st birthday with me and David. We cooked vegetarian meal because Allison's vegetarian. And I got to tell you, today is like the third day I have not eaten any meat.
Yeah, we've made good. What we've made within the past week has probably been the most diverse food that you guys have eaten at home.
You're
all
right.
Year.
That's true. And awesome. We've made some great vegetarian recipes.
Corn,
right? I'm sorry to take away from the news and stuff, but you know, this is life in the Sandler Sloan house. Sorry, during the quarantine. So, Allison, we had a nice bottle of champagne because she's now legal, and she's using it as a water bottle now. The champagne bottle. anyway, so she's been baking this banana bread, and so she just brought me a banana bread muffin. Thank you, honey.
Enjoy.
Okay. All right. Sorry for that little
That was news
diversion.
Too. She had her birthday. Yay.
She's 21. She's 21.
I can't even believe it. When I saw her, she was 14.
I know, right? When I adopted her, she was 18 months old.
Yeah. Well, anywho, okay, here, this broke yesterday. This will please you.
Yes.
NBC News Chairman Andy Lack
is
stepped down amid corporate shakeup.
I saw that. And I saw a tweet from Melissa Harris Perry that said something so cryptic, and I had to go back to find out what she was referring to. It was like, good riddance. That was the tweet. It wasn't referring to anything. It wasn't, you know, retweeting something or in response to anything. She just wrote good riddance, and it's like, okay, what is this about?
Well,
That's what it was.
I don't know if I save this tweet for today, but what also broke today was that he and Chris Matthews are under investigation, I think, in New York for sexual harassment, and other people at NBC too. So that's interesting. Anyway, from the New York Times that I was referring to just then, Rachel Maddow was among those at the news division who were publicly critical of Lack and the NBC News leadership team during his time at the network.
Good.
So he's out, and Telemundo chief Cesar Conde will replace him and will oversee NBC News, MSNBC, and CNBC. Now, I looked him up.
Yes.
And according to his Wikipedia, there were two things that were notable to me. One, prior to this, he was appointed by George W. Bush as one of 12 2002-2003 White House fellows. And in that capacity, he served as the White House fellow for Colin Powell. I don't know what that means, but Powell at least is a little more reasonable than Bush. And then more on that. During time at Univision, Conde led company to enter into partnerships that drove national community initiatives and empowerment campaigns. One was a nonpartisan Latino civic participation campaign, which encouraged eligible Hispanics to become U.S. citizens and register to vote and exercise the right to vote. So that's kind of a good thing.
Okay.
So maybe he's not horrible.
We can hope. I don't know if he's going to be the permanent guy or he's just sort of a placeholder. We don't know anything.
It sounded from the way they worded it that he was the permanent guy, but when I read something else about it, it didn't sound as permanent as that. So who knows? We'll find out.
Right.
We'll find out.
I guess we'll find out. Yes.
This is disturbing to me. People are laughing at it and all kinds of snark, but you're going to get why I don't like it.
Okay.
Trump is really aiming to take down Fox. This is according to
Vanity
Fair.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yep.
I know what story is. Ugh.
Yep. A group associated with Donald Trump Jr. is buying a major stake in OANN.
OANN. One American news network with that, the bimbo girl in the White House briefing room who always asks, the most important questions ever, like,
supposed to be in the White House
right.
press room.
The one who was already told to get out, and she still comes back each time. And what's her name? It's like,
I don't know her name. I don't even care. She looks like she's 12. She sounds like she's 12. And she kisses his ass every time she asks a question.
Her nose is quite brown because it's been shoved up there so far.
Indeed. All right, so I did a little run on this. At the end of the day, Trump thinks he owns Fox, is the quote. He thinks he made them, said a Republican who discussed Fox with Trump. An investor group aligned with his son, Don Jr., and the Dallas-based Hicks family has acquired stake in One America. Hosts like, I don't know how to say this, Jack, how do you say his name, Posobiec?
I have no idea.
You know,
never heard of him.
Right wing, a chief promoter of the Pizzagate conspiracy guy.
All right.
And RNC co-chair Tommy Hicks and Don Jr. have been looking to buy a station for Trump TV, said a source. This is all about building a Fox competitor. Trump is really aiming to take Fox down. And that's the part everybody picked up on. That's not the part I'm concentrating on.
Right. No, the fact is he's buying up, he's getting his Trump TV network ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Sources said the deal has been dragging on for months and hasn't yet closed. As the deal has been moving forward, Trump's been promoting OAN by calling on their reporters at the briefings and tweeting favorably about the network's coverage. Here's the part that I'm upset about.
Okay.
Controlling a network has been something Trump has been mulling since the 2016 election. Mm-hmm. Thinking he would lose, Trump dispatched Kushner to raise money to launch Trump TV. Quote, if Trump loses, he can be on OAN all the time. Uh-huh. And before he leaves office, he has months to pump it up.
Yep.
So basically, he's buying a stake in the network that he's pushing and that he's going to control.
Yeah.
And that he's giving special privileges to in
and
the White House.
Are you surprised? I mean, this
not
is what he does. And look, I think this points to the fact that he believes he's not going to win, that he's going to need his outlet to still push, catapult the propaganda.
Yeah, but he will. It's going to be like a second Fox, if he has anything to do about it.
It really will be Trump TV, because Fox occasionally criticizes him and he goes ballistic. Well, these people, if Junior owns this channel, not really a network, a channel, you know, it's going to be all Trump all the time.
It reminds me a little bit of what Glenn Beck did.
Yeah. The Blaze. But Glenn Beck, you know,
but he doesn't have the
following that Trump has. Sorry.
Right. Exactly.
Just doesn't. Not okay, that any of it makes sense.
Right. No, but right. This is from yesterday too. And I have not heard anybody pick up on this.
Okay.
This is from Isaac Stone Fish from Washington Post Global.
Okay. Yeah.
And it says, the Ministry of State Security told Chinese leaders that they need to prepare for armed confrontation between the U.S. and China. This is a major Reuters scoop, he says, and one published without a byline, an indication of just how sensitive the information is. And the Reuters thing goes on to say, an internal Chinese report warns that Beijing faces a rising wave of hostility in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak that could tip relations with the U.S. into confrontation. The presentation of the report shows how seriously Beijing takes the threat of a building backlash that could threaten what China sees as its strategic investments overseas and its views of its security standing. Relations between U.S. and China are widely seen to be at their worst point in decades, with deepening mistrust and friction points from U.S. allegations of unfair trade and technology practices to disputes over Hong Kong, Taiwan, and contested territories in the South China Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And idiot Trump, quote, has been ramping up his criticism of Beijing and threatening new tariffs on China.
Yeah.
His administration, meanwhile, is considering retaliatory measures against China over the outbreak. So it's another wag the dog, get us into a further mess, look over there, shiny keys, let's get away from, you know, the bad news about me stuff.
Right.
At our and China's expense, because security is at stake.
Right. You know, this is disturbing. I mean, so much about Donald Trump and his administration is disturbing, but this, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, who I trust about as far as I can throw him, got on the TV last night and said, we know this was, you know, this virus was manufactured in a lab.
Right.
And so here's a story I had today that I didn't get to in the news. Intelligence shared between the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand indicates that it's, quote, highly unlikely the coronavirus originated in a lab in Wuhan, China. It says the countries make up the Five Eyes Alliance. And two officials said the nations are uniting around the assessment. Let's see. Pompeo said there's enormous evidence the coronavirus spread as a result of a lab accident. A senior Office of Director of National Intelligence officials said the U.S. has evidence for both theories. Anthony Fauci told National Geographic there's no solid evidence of a conspiracy theory promoted by Trump and Pompeo that the coronavirus originated in a Chinese lab and escaped. The infectious disease experts and leading biologists say all the evidence shows the virus evolved in animals and jumped from bats to humans in the wild. findings supported by the World Health Organization and U.S. allied intelligence agencies. So, but they're going to keep pushing this. And the thing is, this is the boy who cried wolf. I don't believe a single word out of anyone in this administration, because all they've done is lie. So if they do tell us the truth about something, I don't trust that it's the truth.
And that's the same thing goes for all his agencies. You know, you've got the FDA approving drug after drug and this and that and all these tests and things and vaccine pushes. And I no longer have faith in our medical system under those agencies because of Trump.
Exactly.
I know there are some really good professionals and lifers that are in there. That's not their fault. It's the people in charge who are pushing them to do whatever it is they want them to do. Anyway, I've got a whole bunch more. I don't want to lose time here. angry White House staffer, said, I don't know if anyone has discussed how irresponsible it is of Trump to be traveling right now, but it's bad. Every time POTUS goes anywhere, an advance team goes first to plan out logistics, security, etc. More people flying around the country right now isn't what we need.
No.
And that goes directly off of your, what I call lawn lies, you know, your chopper talk. He's out there on the lawn already. I don't know how they arrange the reporters and how they're shouting questions at him and how close anybody is to each other. So that alone is already more dangerous than the room might be. I don't know, than the briefing room. But then he's flying off and he can't stand it. He can't stand not having his stupid rallies. So he's doing everything he can to emulate them in any way he can. Anyway, here's more from today.
Okay.
A volunteer on Kushner's coronavirus response effort was so worried by what they saw that they filed a complaint with House Oversight. And then it goes on, Kushner coronavirus effort said to be hampered by inexperienced volunteers. So the coronavirus response being spearheaded by Kushner relied in part on volunteers from consulting and private equity firms with little expertise in the tasks to which they were assigned, exacerbating chronic problems in obtaining supplies for hospitals and other needs. Many were poorly matched with the jobs they were assigned, including those given the task of securing personal protective equipment or PPE for hospitals nationwide, according to this complaint from the Oversight Committee. Team responsible for PPE had little success in helping the government secure such equipment, in part because none of the team's members had significant experience in healthcare procurement or supply chain operations. It gets worse. In addition, none of the volunteers had existing relationships with manufacturers or a clear understanding of customs requirement or Food and Drug Administration rules. Supply chain volunteers, get ready, were instructed to fast-track protective equipment leads from, quote, VIPs, including conservative journalists friendly to the White House.
God.
Fox and Friends host Brian Kilmeade, for example, called two people he knew in the administration to pass along a lead about protective equipment. Fox News Channel host Jeanine Pirro also repeatedly lobbied the administration for a specific New York hospital to receive a large quantity of masks. But her emails, get ready for this, the team of volunteers focused on PPE had trouble developing manufacturer relationships and making inroads with brokers, in part because they were using personal email accounts rather than official government email addresses.
In addition
to the already challenging circumstances, the complaint also says that on some of the teams, minimal attempts at social distancing are taken. Administration officials deemed some of the models too catastrophic. The administration ultimately decided to rely primarily on model created by the Institution of Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. This had some of the most optimistic projections of cases and deaths. Thank you, Kushner.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you heard, I had the president on the show yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, remember I told you I wish I'd called in.
So we had Donald Trump on, and I asked him about Jared Kushner, and what he said is he thinks Kushner is a total fuck up. He wants to basically give him enough rope to hang himself so that Ivanka will dump him.
That's where I wanted to jump in. Daddy.
Yes, Daddy, Ivanka. So Ivanka, do tell us. Your father came on the show yesterday and said, you know, that he thinks Jared's pretty worthless and that you should divorce him and, I don't know, I guess be there just hanging out with Daddy all the time. What do you think?
Daddy clearly Daddy clearly was being sarcastic.
Because that's the excuse, right? Every time Trump says something he doesn't like, he's joking or he's sarcastic.
It was just, you're such fake news never understands, Daddy. They think he's being serious. He was just being sarcastic.
Ick.
I love Jared so much. He's so pale and translucent. He makes me look tan.
Yeah, that he does.
Lawrence O'Donnell tweeted this. First, Trump tweeted, oil prices moving up nicely and demand begins again.
Oh, God.
Lawrence O'Donnell tweeted, Trump is the first president in history to hope that Americans with depressed incomes have to pay higher gasoline prices.
Oh, God.
It's true.
Yes.
Here's something. This broke today. Trump administration officials are telling members of the coronavirus task force that the White House plans to wind down the operation, and it's not clear whether any other group might replace it. They want to wind it down by Memorial Day. So John Scalzi says, fuck it, let them die is an interesting policy choice in an election year.
Right.
And then our buddy David Waldman said, I always said that one day, like a miracle, the coronavirus task force would just disappear.
It'll go down to nothing. It's like a miracle, right? It'll
exactly.
just be gone one day.
Oh, my God. Okay, so then yesterday, LOL GOP tweeted, Mitch McConnell wouldn't let Obama's Supreme Court pick get a vote. His excuse? It was an election year.
Right.
Now, in an election year, in the midst of a pandemic, McConnell is calling back the Senate so he can keep filling up the courts with Trump's unqualified extremist picks.
And that's all. That's all he had scheduled for this week. So they had to call back the Senate, right? With the Senate is really old. The median age of the Senate is like 67 years old.
Exactly.
And so he had to call them back. Why? Because of the urgent business they had? Nominations. It's judicial and what's his name for the director of national intelligence. Right. That's what McConnell.
Ratcliffe.
Thank you. Rat. With a capital
Ratcliffe.
Yeah. That's what McConnell had in store for the Senate this week. Really? Look, I'm sorry. I think Bernie Sanders and Patrick Leahy and, you know, I can go on and on. There's a lot of elderly senators who really should be staying at home right now. This was unnecessary and they should have put it off for at least another week.
This will get you madder.
Oh, God. Okay.
It makes no sense, in quotes. Feds considering relaxing infection controls in U.S. nursing homes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And that's on top of, they want, especially here in Florida, I don't know if this is national, I know it's here in Florida, they want to shield nursing home facilities from any liability claims. Oh, my God. They're killing off all the residents, but let's hold them harmless. Fuck no. I'm sorry. You killed my grandmother. I'm going to let you off the hook.
And here's something. Amazon VP resigns, calls company chicken shit for firing protesting workers. Tim Bray says the company has become toxic and the firings are designed to create a climate of fear.
Wow.
Tim Bray, a well-known senior engineer and vice president at Amazon, has quit in dismay because Amazon has been firing whistleblowers who were making noise about warehouse employees frightened of COVID-19. That's from Vice.
And I mentioned this earlier. It's happening in a lot of these places where Georgia, for instance, in Texas, where they're opening up now, where people are told you come back to work. And if you're afraid to, then guess what? You don't get to take unemployment benefits anymore. Now, check this out. You've seen the commercials for that car seller called Carvana?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So check this out. Carvana gave its employees a stark choice last week. You can return to work as COVID-19 deaths still mount or walk away from your job. And it says, wrong pot. It's an example of the pressure many workers will confront as states ease stay-at-home restrictions and employers call them back to work amid the pandemic. But for employees, that could mean returning to a work site even as the COVID-19 death count near 70,000 in the U.S. and many schools and childcare facilities remain closed. This is happening with businesses all over the place, and it's a way to screw over the workers. Either you come back to work before the all clear has sounded, before they even have a, as the requirement supposedly right. called for, a two-week downturn in the cases. None of these states live up to those milestones set up.
Standards.
Yes.
The White House standards. Okay, well, this will fit right in. This is from Robert Reich. How to make a quick buck during a pandemic. One, you're a member of Congress who trades stocks based on private briefings. Two, you're a wealthy GOP donor who scores federal bailouts. Three, you're a drug company that uses publicly funded research for private profit. So there are all these different ways that you're talking about, that I'm talking about, that he's talking about, that people are exploiting this pandemic. People are dying, 70,000 people. And growing quickly, that number is just shooting up,
yep.
and it's going to get bigger and bigger
yep.
more quickly. And now that people are, and here's something we can end on. I won't even bother reading the rest of my
okay.
tweets because this is driving me. What is up with opening up the country this early? What is going on with even California? What
yeah.
is happening? There is no way we're getting better.
No. And a lot of people are within their rights to say, I'm not ready to go back yet. But if you are an employee, just an hourly employee, or, you know, you have no choice. It's, you know, your livelihood or your life. You
I
pick.
Go back.
You pick. Right.
I would pick not to go back.
Yeah.
I told Mr. Laffey, oh, he gets to work at home now, but
uh-huh.
before he was able to, I said, I'd rather you quit than go back to work.
Right. No, Allison, my daughter, you know, does piercings. She does body piercing at a tattoo yep. shop. She's doing very well. Or she was before this all happened. She doesn't want to do that as a career, but she's doing it now. She's, you know, getting some savings built up in her bank account. But her bosses want to open up as soon as they can. And she's like, I'm not going anywhere near that. Even some of her friends, she's, you know, she just turned 21. Her mm-hmm. friends are still getting together. My kid, thankfully, is freaked out about the coronavirus and she's not going anywhere. And when she does leave, she wears a mask and gloves and she takes precautions, but she's not hanging out with them. Look, she even celebrated her 21st birthday with me and David. So I give her
because
a lot of credit.
She has a functioning brain. That's why.
Right. That's right. So it's crazy times. I think right now what we know is the government is not, in this case, going to save us. You need to be informed. Thank you for listening. And take care of yourself and do
yep.
what's right for you. And you're the only one who can decide what that is.
Well, they wanted to shrink the government, and
yeah.
they certainly did.
Ugh, this is
such a
mess.
And the government needs to go to a shrink. So
big time. All right. Gotta laugh. We're at the end of our Tuesday get-together. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, 2 T's, 2 F's, and here with me every Tuesday. And I think Amy will join us for another edition of the Glibberal Goddesses next week.
Yay!
While we're all on lockdown. All right. Be good. Tomorrow we're going to deal with the virus with an expert on the 1918 Spanish flu, who's got a book on it called called something, the Great Influenza. The Great Influenza. So, yeah. So he'll join us.
Tomorrow.
You know, whatever else. Hey, I'm trying. I'm just trying to get through each day.
You're doing better than I could do. But you're trying.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Laffy. And
bye.
To you, thank you for listening. I will see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone. Be well.